together in our confession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Lord God Almighty, we come before you not as we deserve, because you invite the heart of a penitent sinner. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to God. Let us bring before God any sins that we are conscious of first in the quiet of our hearts. And we confess together, most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The Lord tells us that a broken and contrite heart God will not despise. He absolves those who confess their sins and in faith by the power of the Holy Spirit seek to turn from sin. Christians, believe that by the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins are erased. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in our opening.
The story continues with a focus on today's theme, which is started as Saul, changed to Paul. As our theme leads us to think about how God sometimes changes hearts. Acts 9, verses 1 through 19 is on page 127 in the New Testament of the Red Pew Bible. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing, so they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias?" He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man and how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Yes, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And may the words of our mouths, meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as stated, our post-Easter sermon series continues. It's called The Story Continues. And that story is God's story. God's story of salvation for sinners. Today's message is started as Saul, changed to Paul. Let's begin with the Bible character of Saul himself. You know, the Bible actually has a whole lot to say about Saul. He was from the city of Tarsus. He was a devout Jew. His entire family was. Strong history there of a lot of religious piety. And apparently his family lineage was connected to that Pharisaic tradition, observed from generation to generation. As a young child, he was sent to Jerusalem, and there he received his formal education. He attended the school of Gamaliel, and that was one of the most noted rabbis of all time, a very strong teacher of the Jewish law. Saul referred to himself as being of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew among Hebrews. He was indeed a Pharisee of Pharisees, an expert in the law. And so staunch in his religious practice that after Jesus had been raised from the dead, he was one of those zealous Jews who, didn't believe that the resurrection was true. He thought it was a big hoax, and he sought to stamp out Christianity. You see, previous to our Bible story today, Saul is a ringleader in the execution of a man by the name of Stephen. Stephen was the first martyr. And so strong in his faith about Jesus Christ, Saul just wasn't going to put up with it. And he was there consenting to Stephen being stoned. Our story today picks up on that. And it continues with Saul's fervor. The Bible story says this: meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest to ask for letters to the synagogues at Damascus. And if he found any who belonged to the way — and the way was another name for Christianity — any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. You see, Saul was commissioned. He was commissioned by the Jewish temple authorities. And Saul was going to go around, he's going to round up followers of Jesus, imprison them, threaten them, even kill them, all in an attempt to stomp out this new religious movement. They considered it to be heresy, blasphemy to Judaism. And though Saul's religious passion was very intense, very real for him and the Jews, they thought they were being faithful. The Bible tells us quite different, does it not? They couldn't have been more wrong. So what happens in this particular story is that Jesus himself intervenes in a dramatic fashion. You know, I would venture to say that there's situations and seasons in our own life, right? Maybe we, like Saul, get off the mark with God. We too need some redirection for God to put us back on the tracks again. And our transgressions may not be so similar to Saul, but maybe more similar than we think. But we're not bringing physical harm. We're not murdering anyone. And yet our self-righteousness and our unrighteousness may be anything from a form of gossip to little lying to cheating, stealing, arrogance, addictions, unhealthy habits, ungodly lifestyles, and the like. You know, the specifics for each and every one of us are going to vary. But nonetheless, there are times when we get out of bounds with God and we need to be reeled back in. So many times, in order for God to get our attention, whether it's for that correction and direction, God at times might use a 2x4, just like he did with Saul. Other times, it's not a 2x4. Maybe it's just a light feather up against the head, a word of challenge from a friend, a confrontation from another. Maybe it's a Bible reading or possibly a guilty conscience, an inspiration from a podcast, a sermon, or a song. And yet the goal is always the same, for God to realign us with his way and his will, as opposed to our ways and our wills. Three faith points today, that this story guides us in our own faith journey. If you want to jot these down, you're welcome to it. Otherwise, you can pick them back up on Facebook or YouTube. Faith point number one. Saul got knocked off his high horse. You know, he's on his way to Damascus, going to round up more Christians. Verse 3 and 4 say this way, Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground. He heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? With his high and mighty attitude, with his self-righteous air about him, Saul was emptied of himself. He was brought low. He was brought to his knees, flat on the ground. You know, there may be times for us, that may be times that we need to be lowered a few notches before we can be raised up to rightness. There's a story told about a man who was a businessman, mid-40s. He was burning the candle at both ends. No. He was burning the candle at all three ends, if there are three ends to a candle. The workload for him was so heavy. He was traveling from city to city. A business was good, but he couldn't get all the work done in his office. And so he used the car as an office as well. He'd make phone calls, appointments, deals. Sometimes people wouldn't answer his phone calls and when he would leave messages. And so he found himself, of course, texting and driving. His wife and he had this conversation. Matter of fact, they had had a close call a couple of weeks before. He almost drove into the ditch while he was talking on the phone. And yet he found it necessary. He found it necessary to get all the work done, right? Well, it proved to be a recipe for near disaster. As he was texting one day, not paying full attention to the road, and he pulled off on the shoulder of the road, and there he hit a young teen who was riding her bike to school. The accident left the young lady alive, thanks be to God, but with a concussion, a broken leg, a broken pelvis, lots of nightmares and surgeries, lots of recovery in the forefront. You see, the driver was devastated by the injury that he had caused to the youngster, and yet now, too, he faced legal charges. He was so thankful that she was alive, and yet he had to live with this selfish decision of what he had done. Somehow, some way, the Lord got his attention. And from then on, he disabled his phone as he drove. You know, there's times in our lives when we may have a close call or an illness or a relational breakup. Maybe we get fired or we fail a test or don't make the team. Maybe someone calls us out on something, possibly a financial crisis. You fill in the blank. And hear this well. I do not believe that God always causes such situations. God doesn't cause all these situations, but God can use them. God can use them to get our attention, to lead us to consider what we're doing and what we're not doing. How do we say it around here sometimes at Holy Ghost Lutheran Church? Holy Spirit, comfort me in the places where I'm disturbed, and disturb me in the places where I'm way too comfortable, particularly in my sin. Which brings us to faith point number two. Saul was temporarily blinded. Verse 8 and 9 say it this way, Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Just makes sense, doesn't it? A blind person can't see. They can't see what's going on out here. That they're oblivious to being able to vision and to see what's going on right in front of them. And yet, get this. They can see quite well inside. You know, it's a practice that possibly each and every one of us need to employ. You see, Saul got knocked off his high horse. He was now unable to see. And he was a man of authority. He was a man of power. And he had to be led by the hand. Which means suddenly he goes from this high position to this position of vulnerability and dependence. You know, but I believe that as he experienced this blindness, he couldn't see outside, but he turned inside to make some evaluation. You know, there's times when you and I may get knocked off our feet, right? We may get blindsided, so to speak. And it becomes fertile ground for either one of two things. We can either gripe and moan and complain. We can blame others. We can blame God. We can blame the situation. We can even fuss and cuss and pitch a hissy fit. Or instead of doing all that stuff on the outside, we can turn inside. The more spiritually mature soul believes that it's a ripe time for internal evaluation. About a month ago, our faucet began to leak. Oh my goodness, at first it was just a little drip, drip, drip. Well, it wasn't a whole lot. You just had to find the right place on the handle to stop the drip. But you had to get in the right perfect position. And if you couldn't find that position, if you hold your mouth just right, like this, you could find it finally. But sometimes it'd take 2 seconds, and sometimes it'd take an entire minute. And you know, drips don't get better, right? And so I was pushing the handle harder. I was tightening down that little screw thing on the top right there. None of that was working until Tammy, my wife, showed me a YouTube video on how to fix a faucet. And so you had to go inside of it. And so presto, I followed the video. And you know what? Fixing the problem on the inside solved the problem on the outside. When we face a negative situation or experience some sort of setback, it can't be always something on the outside. Can't always be someone else's fault. Though the issue may not totally be on you, often it has a little bit of something to do with you, with me. We rarely are totally innocent of having some issue, some part of this the deal, right? I mean, Psalm 51 says it this way, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." It's a prayer. It's a prayer for us to look inwardly at our own heart. Replacement parts in our heart instead of trying to fix whatever's going on the outside. Cleanse me from the inside out so that I might stop the drip, 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 drip. You know, in order for us to have that new internal heart of faith, it takes a decent dose of humility a lot of times. Bible says, we said it in our confession this morning, God can always do something with a humble heart. A humble heart he does not despise. It is said that some of the best vision comes when we cannot physically see. And it was so for Paul. Our third and final point is this. For 3 days, he was out of sight. And then scales, after he was baptized, after Ananias came and ministered to him, after the Holy Spirit got into his heart, scales fell from his eyes. You see, big things in the Bible happen on day 3. You know, Jonah was released from the belly of that great fish on the 3rd day. Christ was raised from the dead, from the grave, on count 3. And like Jesus and like Jonah, Saul experiences a resurrection. It's from blindness to sight. It's from darkness to light. It's from death to life. From the old to the new. And he becomes a totally, totally different person from the inside out. Yeah, what started as Saul was changed to Paul. There's a story in early church history about a man by the name of Augustine. And Augustine lived in the 5th century. He was blind at one time, and then all of a sudden the scales eventually fell off. For 3 decades, 3 decades of his life, the first 3, he lived this self-indulgent, pleasure-seeking, loose lifestyle, you might say. At age 17, he took up residence with a woman, lived with her for quite some time. They had a child out of wedlock. He had many, many relationships with mistresses. He frequented the red light district, oh, ladies of the night. He even at one time was engaged to an 11-year-old young lady. He once said this, an infamous, insincere prayer. He said, "God, grant me chastity, but not yet." At age 31, he did have a conversion experience. It was a slow kind of thing. It wasn't a Saul kind of experience, but it was a slow, gradual thing through listening to sermons and through prayer. And his mom prayed for him every single day. But he became a changed man. He became baptized. He became a real believer. And what happened with him then eventually is he becomes a pastor. He becomes a bishop. And he becomes one of the greatest defenders of the faith. You know, I guess he figured if it could happen with Saul to Paul, it could happen with himself. There's a story then told about him as a changed man in life. It involves him walking down a street. A prostitute recognizes him, probably as a former customer. She shouts out his name, Augustine, Augustine. He just kept walking straight. She kept hailing out his name, Augustine. She finally ran up to him, catched him, tapped him on the shoulder. She said this, Augustine, it is I. To which he responded, I know, but it is no longer I. It's been said that when we experience Jesus as our Savior, we can't continue to do the things that we used to do, or maybe even that we are currently doing. Max Lucado said it this way, God loves you. God loves you just the way you are. But he loves you so much, he refuses to let you stay that way. True for all of us. Saul, once a murderer, becomes Paul. And the greatest of all evangelists of all history, even Billy Graham. And how? By being knocked off his high horse. Blinded so that he might see and have that new and changed heart. And thus have those scales fall from his eyes, scales to experience a resurrection in Christ. Our story to walk with today and beyond is what high horse do I need to be brought down from? What internal place do I need to blindly go to in order that I might really, truly see? In other words, what are those changes that I can't do on my own, but with the help of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, they can be done? Taking the old and making it new. 1 Corinthians 5 says this, If anyone is in Christ, behold, they are a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come into being. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may each of us consider how we may have started the day as a Saul, but how we can end the day as a Paul. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's sing the song as we share our gifts.
We offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Psalm 47 says this, all you people, clap your hands and shout for joy. Oh yes, and one last thing. Now the sanctuary is 97.85% done. Kaler Company turns its attention to the Creek Street property. And, you know, over a very long time, we keep calling it the Creek Street property, but that's just not going to do, is it? But from now on, as church council had received many suggestions for the new name, the one that really rose to the top, the new name shall be the Spirit House. H-A-U-S. Yes, there we go. And of course, it's all far from being paid off yet, so please keep those cards and letters and gifts coming on in. Our worship now continues with the sharing of the peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let's share the peace. Gracious Lord God, we are so grateful that we're able to celebrate these special times, the special people, and the special season of the church as we dedicate not only this space, but our very lives to your work and purposes. We ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to work within us to convert us, to change us, to draw us into line with your will, your design, and purposes. And Lord God, we are so grateful for the gift and work of your servant, Bernice Bassey, and her 6 decades of leading music, for our high school graduates and their families as they celebrate this milestone in life. May this, your house, always be a place where we can gather, be fed, and then sent to serve you by serving others. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Savior, we thank and praise you for never giving up on us, for continuing to provide invitation, blessing, and sometimes even challenges or disruptions to our lives. We thank you for your grace and for how you get our attention and lead us to align our lives more closely to you. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, in you all things are made new, so we praise you for a clean slate every time we ask for forgiveness. We pray, too, for a new and clean heart, attitude, spirit, and purpose. Give us faith, strength, as the devil, the world, and our sinful self seek to lead us astray. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we give you thanks for the gift of rain. You know our continued need for the renewal of this earth, renewal of the land, the refilling of tanks and streams, of rivers and lakes. Bless us as we continue in the work that you've set before us. And Heavenly Father, as you watch over all things, we pray for places on this planet where there's conflict, brokenness, war, and lack of basic human resources. For the issues on the Texas border, the war in Israel and Gaza, the war in Ukraine, the troubles in Ethiopia and Sudan, and so many other places of pain and suffering. We pray for those who are trapped in human trafficking, those affected by recent tornadoes, marriages that are in stalemate, children and parents who are estranged, and for all who are ill. Lord, we pray for healing and for you to give courage and strength to all in need. Lord, in your mercy. And Almighty Lord, God, we pray for those in our family of faith who may not be able to worship with us in person, but are yet connected to us in spirit. For Kermit Feuerge, Carrie Kleiner, Dorothy Briley, A.C. Cast, Carol Krause, Victor Mazinski, Virginia Ayler, Wilbur Paisley, and Marilyn Wood. We pray for the family of Helma Kester at her passing, and we ask that you grant each of them your presence and presence and give them strength in this time. Lord, in your mercy. And now, Lord God, lead us into the week ahead. Give us energy to serve and love, hope in order to persevere, joy in the midst of struggles, wisdom in our decisions, and faith in our daily walk with you. Together as we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, children of God, as you go on your way, may God go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in our ascending song.